I don't know about you, but I hate downloading things. Can I tell you this horrible experience I had with Xbox Live
lately? You may.
All right. So I decided to get one of those new Slim 60s or whatever the hell the kids call them these days, because I've had a Core since I got one like back in 2006, like January 2006 or so.
Yeah, you were an early adopter there. You got it during the Red Ring of Death era.
Yep. And the one I originally had did die, but it was just sort of freezing up on original Xbox games and then on 360 games. And then when it finally stopped working on 360 games, Microsoft's like, okay, I guess we'll replace it, because they're... response before was, you should just stop playing original Xbox games. To which, well, I said, no, I'm playing Halo 2. This is before Halo 3, so.
And before, like, they removed the ability to ever play Halo 2 online. Oh, there's something to talk about.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's all part of the same deal, right? So,
yeah.
So keep going. I got this Xbox, and I had, to buy a $100 20-gigabyte hard drive on top of it. And, 5 years later, it's not doing as hot as it was all those years ago. So I got a new machine, transferred everything over, and now that we can use thumb drives, I transferred it all over that way. And then I went online to transfer the licensing for it, and I did that, and it appeared to have worked, but then it wanted me to download all my DLC and download the games again. And I was like, okay. Wow. So I did it via the website, and it would not queue my stuff. And
really?
I was like, yeah. So
did you have to, like, do it all individually then?
Yeah, long story short, I called support, and they said that, yes, the license transfer did work. I'm just going to have to queue them a little bit at a time, because I had, like, almost 200 items, and it was just over blowing out the queue, and it just wouldn't do them all. So I'm like, why did I spend all those hours copying things onto my thumb drive and then transferring them over to the new hard drive and the new machine, if I was just going to download them all over again? It was
forget
ridiculous.
The hours doing that. Why did you have 200 items of downloadable content?
Well, I mean, it's add-ons for games that don't come on the disc. Games
well,
that
some
were
of them do probably, but
some of them. Like I bought like Dragon Age Awakening on disc because it was 2 gigabytes and my tiny little hard drive couldn't handle that. But, then like Xbox Live Arcade stuff. But the thing that got me the most was that my original Xbox saves could not be moved, like, at all. They're all stuck on my old hard drive. And that's because of licensing. It's partly because the Xbox Live service for the original Xbox titles is down now, so they don't have a way to relicense them. But it's also partly, apparently, because those original Xbox titles could not be moved on hard drives before. And I had a little argument with the support guy about, how stupid that was. But, that just leads me to wonder what's going to happen in 20 or 30 years when we want to play this stuff again.
I think the main thing is are they going to be able to find a way to make money off doing that? There's right now they have absolutely no reason for letting you transfer your saves, because if you can transfer your saves, you're going to play your old games, and if you play your old games, you're not going to buy any new games.
Well, if they stopped making so many games year after year, I wouldn't.
Well, there's a solution, I suppose. We'll just we'll start an online petition to developers to stop making games.
I think they'll take that up heartily.
I think that's a good solution.
EA especially will jump right on that.
But I mean, your story is indeed tragic.
Yeah.
I mean, as data transferring stories go. But I mean, think about this.
Right.
Like when those new black Wiis came out, they looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I really thought of upgrading it. Well, upgrading nothing. I don't know. It's the same Wii, it's just black, but I thought it might be cool to have one, or one of the red ones that came out for a new Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Right.
But when it comes to Nintendo, it's far worse than it is for Microsoft, because you can't transfer data at all.
Yeah.
Your online purchases are linked to a system, and if that system dies, Nintendo will help you out. I mean, for now. But what if my system dies in 10 years?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That content just ceases to exist.
Yeah, it's almost as if these companies think they're entitled to our money regardless of whether or not they provide us with the service. And I'd rather have them provide me with a product that I can enjoy indefinitely than the service they keep trying to sell us, which is that, oh, you had a problem with your system? Well, we'll do that free of charge since you paid us all this money for these games. But, only as long as we feel like it.
Well, I mean, it's always been that way to a certain extent. I mean, look as far back as the disk system. Up till 2003, which is actually a really long time to support something, Nintendo would make, would repair the disks and, recopy the data onto them. But after that, they're eventually going to be gone,
Right. Right.
Which is something, we'll preserve them as well as I can. But it's what we're entering now is kind of a new realm where the option to own something can be removed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we don't really own it anymore. It's ever since 2000, it's been in like Napster and everything. It's been about license control and copy control. And in an age where you can make copies of digital content, how do you do that? And I guess the answer, rather than using physical media as has been done in the past, is to abandon the physical media and just go with the copy protection, which requires people's servers to keep running. Like the whole thing with Assassin's Creed on the PC, and how you can't even play the game like locally without connected to their servers.
Which made the pirated version far more appealing than the legal version.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
I don't know, though. I mean, clearly companies have to do something, because we're living in an age where it's way too easy to get stuff for free. What I mean?
Right.
But on the same hand, like, I don't know if you heard about this or not, and I can't remember the exact name of the game. For some reason, Double Dragon's sticking in my mind, but I'm not sure.
Sure.
There was an Xbox Live game that was being offered. I think it was part of a retro collection or something, or maybe a remake. I'm not sure. But there was a little article that didn't get much fanfare on making the blogs about a year back, saying that the game had been removed from the servers. Because I guess licensing had expired. What that was, and few people probably realized the ramifications, because it wasn't a popular game or anything, but we witnessed our first death of a game.
Which has never happened before. I mean, Tengen?
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, you can still find those carts out there.
I mean, there's definitely games that to play you have to pony up a lot of cash for. What I mean?
Right.
But this game now, if you didn't buy it when it was out, there is no legal way for you to acquire it now.
Yeah, that legal being the point of emphasis here.
Because the only way you can get it if you don't have it right now is to buy an Xbox that already has it on. But by legal definition, if you buy that Xbox, you're supposed to register it to your own name,
right?
And which would delete that game,
Right.
So what I mean, it's an inconsequential game right now, but it sets a precedent that I think is a bit scary, that we might be witnessing, games that one can no longer legally obtain. I mean, the hacking community is always going to be there to preserve and protect. How does that work? But before you owned something, you physically had it in your possession. And I know a lot of the game industry thinks that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
But it was transferable.
Right.
It was yours.
Well,
and you could make it to be another person's.
Yeah, the problem with making another person's, though, is that the company that made it doesn't see any of the money from it. Or at least that's a problem for them. It's not a problem for places like EB or the person selling it. But they're transferring a license, right?
Oh, definitely.
So it should be fine. But on the other hand, it's like that means that 10 people can go out into the world and buy it, initially, and then...
Oh, exactly.
And then 90 people can wait until they're done with it and then pay that person however much the market deems is of value. Then the publisher doesn't make 100 sales that they feel they're entitled to. Well, for example, any disc-based game you can buy now has some kind of free DLC with it, typically, or at least the BioWare games and other EA stuff.
They give that to you for free, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but... But, try and buy that game used now, you don't get that stuff. Either you have to pay for that DLC on the Xbox Live service, if you're doing Xbox Live, for instance. For as long as they feel like offering it, or you're just stuck without. And that begs the question, are we getting an incomplete game when you get it secondhand?
I don't have too big of a problem with that if I knew that those servers would be up forever. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But because, that's a service, and they're not required.
Exactly.
To keep providing
like,
it.
I have no problem. I have no problem at all with people. Developers should make money. Definitely, I believe in buying games. I believe, you know, in the market, and I don't contribute much to the used game market because I'm a nerd and I don't
right.
sell anything.
Right.
But like, I think people should have the right to do that if they want. What scares me is, oh, you're a big Samba de Amigo player, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Much to my chagrin, 11 years later.
Yeah, but, I mean, okay, look at it this way. You know those tracks that you could only download from SegaNet?
Right.
Now, I know hacks have allowed, you know, because they were on disk to begin
right,
with.
Right, right, it's just like an unlocked code.
Hacks has allowed you to get them, but like... From your original Dreamcast, you know,
right?
There is no legitimate way to acquire those.
Yep, SegaNet is down now, and I think my Dreamcast in particular only has the dial-up modem, so I don't even know where I can get dial-up service these days.
We are witnessing content cease to be, you know.
Yeah,
and that's something unprecedented.
Because we could do a show about Samba and the fact that could happen. That you can get content that way, and it's kind of interesting. This is some of the first DLC, quote-unquote. But who would care?
Yeah.
Because no one could do it.
Exactly. It's strange. But, like, I mean, we've seen lots of MMOs die, you know?
Right. That's a whole different topic.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing that affects me as a retro gamer is that a lot of the time, for me... One big part of video games is the nostalgia factor, you know?
Right.
I want to play the games that I played when I was younger, and I want to have the same type of experience. But if I get a game that the servers are now down for, and I can only play the most base level of the game, you know, without it... Because even if I wanted to get the DLC, it's no longer available.
Right.
I don't know. That saddens me. In one way, DLC has been a revival for the retro game market. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
Virtual console, things like that. I mean, no one had heard of Dynastic Hero on the TurboGrafx CD because it was like a $250, $300 game. You know, really expensive game, really rare.
Dynastic Hero what now?
look it up, everyone. All everyone right. listening to this, it's on the Wii Virtual Console. Oh. It's one of the rarest and most expensive... games to actually buy. I've seen it on eBay for upwards of $250. You can get it on Virtual Console for $10. You know, $10, $50. I don't remember what they cost. But that's an example of a game that was pretty much lost to the ages, being restored by DLC. And I guess it's been good for games like that. But for games of the future, you know, it will be entirely up to whether or not the publisher wants to make it available or whether licensing allows it. Everybody wants GoldenEye for Virtual Console, but it's never going to happen.
Right.
Well, luckily, it was one of the most common games on the system. There's lots of physical cartridges out there now, but like...
Aren't they doing a GoldenEye, though, with the new guy, Daniel Craig, or something?
Yeah, they did. It's out.
It's out already. Okay.
And that's sad that you... that it made so little of an impact that you didn't know.
Well, I mean, I have my N64. I can play it. You know, it was always local multiplayer. I can just pull out my controllers. There's even fixes for your thumbstick using, like, a GameCube or GameCube-type thumbstick on your N64 controllers so that thing will last a long time.
Definitely.
You know, that's something that you should probably find a link for and put it in the show notes, right?
Probably.
But yeah, so I can bust that out anytime I want. I feel like playing it, and I don't need to get some heavily modified version to get around licensing. You know, whereas, for example, I did download the Perfect Dark remake on Xbox Live Arcade, but haven't played it since.
Now let's go. Let's shoot ahead into the future.
Sure.
20 years. Say I'm talking with let's say I'm talking with you, and I'm like, hey, remember that game that was kind of a craze for a while? I made a game with zombies in it.
Ah, yes.
Because there's a game we're going to want to review and we're going to want to revisit in 20 years. And we go on and we see that, oh my gosh, it's no longer available. It really, you know, it really can, you know, cease to be. And, of course, in 20 years, we're going to be super, super rich.
Obviously.
Totally. So, I mean, if we wanted to play one of these rare NES cartridges, for example, you know, we could just go on eBay and buy it.
Exactly.
It'll cost 3 million of our new Earth dollars, but but we can afford it, you know.
Obviously.
If we really wanted to play it enough. But I made a game with zombies in it. If the server no longer has that title, there is no amount of money that can get us that game.
Right. Unless we buy the company that published it and then make them put it out. Because we'll be so rich we can do that. But for most people, not really an option.
That's true. I mean, we'll just sell a couple hundred more Famicom Dojo DVDs.
Yes.
I mean, a few million more. Ah, whatever.
In the new Earth dollars. No, yeah, I totally see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And what we would need at that point, what we'd have to depend on is something like Steam or, you know, if Steam itself is still around, and they will feed our need for that retro stuff because they'll go through the process of licensing it and selling it for dirt cheap on those incredible sales that where people buy a bunch of things that they never play.
And there's the plus side of downloadable.
Yeah, exactly. Because one game I loved, like in the early 90s, and it's true with any LucasArts game, is their version of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And if not for Steam, I would have no way to play it ever again. I thought that game was gone forever. Even if I found a disc, I'd need some kind of PC that ran DOS, or at least an old enough version where it would be compatible and everything, and then I'd have to, you know, just sit on my computer and play it.
Is that the action one, the, like, platformer?
No, this was an adventure game, like in the LucasArts style.
Oh, the Curse of Atlantis? Or?
No, before that. See, no one knows about this game. This is how not widespread it was. I mean, there were ones for, like, the NES and, I think, the Genesis?
My friend had the side-scrolling one on his Commodore 64.
Yeah, no, this is not like any of that at all. It was LucasArts game that was like Fate of Atlantis. Follow the events of the movie, but then kind of like embellished on them. Like the
I think I have seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can get it on Steam right now. Think about it for like $5. And if not for Steam, I would never have seen that game again. It is fantastic. It's gorgeous. It was, you know, it's a classic. And as a retro collector, and just, you know, someone who remembers playing it, it's fantastic that someone has an avenue to get that now. But if not for, you know, the singular surface of Steam, it would not be available to anyone anywhere.
And there's the other service that's really helping there is Good Old Games.
I don't know that one.
Oh, don't you?
No.
GOG.com, and they're doing the same thing. They're making old, like, DOS games and stuff compatible with modern systems.
Really?
And they're releasing it with no... what am I looking for? Copy protection?
Yeah,
or,
oh, okay.
DRM anywhere, you know.
Are they licensing them properly?
Too.
Are they licensing them properly?
Yes, they are. Oh. Yes, they are. They're, that's why they don't have everything, but
right.
They're growing. They're growing all the time.
Okay.
I rail against downloadable content all the time. I really do, because I'm a collector. I like to have my games with their original manuals and their original cases in a nice little display that no one cares about. but I do. There's something that's really a nice feeling about owning them. But at the same time, most of my game purchases this year have been downloadable content.
Yeah.
More so than physical discs or carts.
Yeah.
And so I'm quite a hypocrite in this, you know.
Well, you know, we don't have any choice. If we want to keep playing games into the future, we have to get things that are only available through online services.
Exactly. And what you said with those Steam sales or whatever, or like, oh my gosh, if you're an iPhone gamer, there's no reason to ever pay more than 99 cents for anything.
Well, and that's an entirely separate topic.
that's a good topic, but it's a love-hate relationship with me, but for the current game player, I think it's a good thing. But I'm just worried about the ramifications for the retro gamer of the future, if that makes any sense.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I'm sure in 20 years when we have our new Earth dollars and our super rich, we'll have totally different problems. But I want my kids and grandkids to, you know, assuming I get them into gaming at all, to have an opportunity to see things. Like I've been playing Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Infocom text adventure game on my iPhone through Frotz, which is just
totally
free.
Did you remember to feed the dog?
Oh yeah, I remember to feed the dog. That's one. It's one of those adventure games where, or adventure games. Yeah, it's one of those games where if you don't do something right in the beginning of the game, you have to go all the way back and do it over again, which pisses me off. But that game was such a source of inspiration for me.
Played it back in the day. Didn't feed the dog. Gave up on it.
Yeah. You just get eaten. So I guess this isn't really something we can do about DLC, and coming to any kind of negative conclusion isn't going to be helpful. But it'll be interesting to revisit this topic in 20 years, I think.
All right. Well, let's put that on our agenda to have another discussion about this in 20 years.
Okay, April 2031. Got it.
About 11:30 my time.
Okay. More like 9:30 mine on the previous day.
Ooh.
Well, you know, when in 20 years, when the island of Japan gets imported into the U.S., we won't have that problem anymore.
We'll have a slew of other problems, though. Anyway, I think that's good for this topic right now. Yeah. But I'd invite you, as the listeners, to leave some comments. What do you think about this? Is DLC as good as the proposed downloadable sliced bread that we've been hearing so much about? Or is DLC truly the digital embodiment of the devil?
Oh my!
No in between opinions, please.
Right, exactly. We only need extremes here.
Only extremes. Please either agree with us completely and send us some of your Earth dollars, or disagree with us completely and send us death threats. So,
all right.
Yes, in between opinions, I guess, would be acceptable if they're well written.
Right. Exactly.
Check your spelling.
Famicom Dojo.
So, Sean, the other day I was Googling my name.
Oh yeah.
Just seeing what came up.
Right.
And interesting enough, on one of the top pages was a link to Amazon.com, and I clicked on it. And did you know we have a DVD out?
Shut your mouth. Really?
Yeah, really. Oh. It's got like all of the episodes of our first season,
right,
and a commentary,
right,
that the show's creators recorded at some point.
Hey, wait a minute. The show's creators are us.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, if we didn't know about it, it's possible that some of you out there didn't know,
right,
about it either.
Right,
so,
right.
It sounds really cool. Easter eggs, the complete Tokyo Game Show special.
Right.
I mean, this looked really, really good, and it wasn't very expensive either.
This is like the pretty much the only way we have to keep our show going, and it's gotten better qualitatively, I think, through new equipment and whatnot. But in order to keep doing this show as well as we've been doing it, we need your support. And,
doing the show better than we've been doing it, we need your support as well.
Yeah, well, there's that too, but let's just one thing at a time. we're always trying to help price wise. So, look for the promo code that we're going to have with this episode, and you will get a discount on the regularly MSRP. And since we are the M in the MSRP, we can do that. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Although occasionally I'm an S. Anyway,
there are things on there that are not available online. There's like a 20-minute outtake reel with alternate takes and bloopers and the like.
By buying this, you are not only supporting the show, but also helping to make it better. We're always trying to upgrade the equipment we use, and you'll see, watching through the episodes, how it's gotten better and better. That's all coming out of pocket right now. So
right.
If you like what you see, please just support us, and hopefully you get something in return that you'll like.
The other thing people keep asking me is when the Season 2 disc is going to come out, and it really helps if we finish Season 2 first. But to more seriously answer the question, we would love to do that, but since we went to HD, we want to do a Blu-ray, and the Blu-ray authoring costs almost three times as much as it does for a DVD, and we really need to know that there's support out there for our DVD, so one thing we are going to do is for anyone who buys the DVD through our website or via Amazon, you will get a discount in the Season 2 DVD when it comes out, regardless of whatever discount we gave you up front. So buying the Season 1 DVD now is really in everyone's best interest, because it'll be great savings for you down the road. And I think that's something that we can handle, right?
I think so. This is the first I've heard of this, but yeah, let's do this.
Right.
And cut.